You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Grab your sermon notes. They're all on all of your chairs. And if you have not already, there is a cup of pens underneath the aisle seat. If you would grab a pen, take one and pass it down. Make sure everyone has one. And just a, oh, I know. We really filled the cups tonight with pens. So don't worry. We can clean it up later. One quick note. Lots of pens. Maybe too many. One quick note on the pens. It would greatly bless us if after the sermon, you would return your pens to the cups. But we do encourage you to take one now so that you can take notes so that you can have even deeper and richer life group discussions in just a few minutes. Now, if you're here tonight and you weren't here last week, we are in the middle of a series that we've called Real Prayers, How to Have Authentic Conversations with God. And last week we talked about why we pray, the purpose of prayer, and tonight we are going to talk about how to pray. And I'm going to invite up Jamal. Yeah, Jamal. Jamal is going to read our passage for us. Before he does that, it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, so it'll go to the next page. You may be sitting here thinking, especially after we've talked about why we pray, which, by the way, if you ever miss any of our messages, Gavin works really hard, thanks to our production team, to upload podcasts on Apple and Spotify, so you could catch up on anything that you've missed or, like, you know, revisit it. And you may be wondering, okay, maybe I understand the purpose of prayer. Thank you for remembering that Jamal needs a mic. Thank you, Gavin, and thank you, Corrine and Mel in the back. But it's kind of like intimidating, like, okay, but then how do I pray? How do I do it? And thanks be to God, he literally spoke word for word, this then is how you should pray. So let's read God's word together and discover what he says. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, if you would read along with Jamal.
So this is Jesus talking, by the way, like Pastor Claire said, red lettering, prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Amen. Thank you, Jamal. And you could put the mic back on the stand. Thank you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I love that Jamal said, this is Jesus speaking, red letter. And Jesus is in the middle of his longest recorded sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. And he takes some time to talk specifically about prayer. And he starts his teaching on prayer by describing what it is not. And your first fill in the blank is that prayer is a relationship, not a performance. We often pray out loud, you know, especially when we gather for church or maybe when you're with a friend or before a meal. And so sometimes we can view prayer like a performance. I don't know if What? I don't know about you, but sometimes I get a little self-conscious about my prayers. Like, okay, what do I sound like? What if I say the wrong thing? What if that person is judging me for what I'm saying? And so, full confession, my first few years as a Christian, when I was an HSM student myself sitting in this room, I really hated praying out loud. Like, I would avoid it. I was not a fan of it. I tried to get out of it as much as I could. But the good news that we just read through the words of Jesus is that prayer is not a test. Like, you're not getting graded on your prayers. Jesus is most concerned about our hearts and what we're thinking about God when we approach him in prayer. And the beautiful thing is that he wants to know us. I love that we just sang like a prayer, I run to the Father again and again. Scripture tells us, Luke 15, that God is like the father that runs to his kids. So we run to him, but really he's also running after us. He wants us to know him because he loves us. And that is true in prayer. And once I realized that, once I realized that prayer was a relationship and not a performance, I could not stop praying. Like my family, when we would get ready to share dinner together, my dad would be like, okay, Claire, can you pray? But keep it short because we're hungry. Like I like couldn't stop praying because I was talking to my Father in heaven. And so Jesus does not want us to pray so that other people will notice us. And he doesn't want us to pray just so that people will praise us for being so holy. He doesn't want us to use a lot of empty words thinking that God will hear us more. He's actually pretty harsh with how he feels about these people. He says that they're hypocrites. That kind of feels like an ugly word. Like that's an intense word. A hypocrite is someone who doesn't do what they say. They don't have integrity. They're not the same person in every space. And so if we're trying to impress other people with our prayers, we have the wrong heart posture. It should be all about us going to God. And if we're trying to impress God with our prayers, we're working too hard. God already knows our hearts. Again, he just wants us to connect. We don't need to impress our Heavenly Father. He just wants our hearts. And what we just read is, if that is, okay, the setup for prayer, we read what's known as the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus said, because God knows our hearts, this is how we should pray. And that passage might be familiar for many of you. And maybe if you aren't following Jesus yet, if you're still getting to know him, you might have like heard familiar phrases. And what's beautiful about the Lord's Prayer is that it's a blueprint for our own prayers. The words of the Lord's Prayer are beautiful. And praying those word for word with a heart that means it is a powerful prayer. But what we're also going to look at tonight is how we can look at the Lord's Prayer and discover that each kind of phrase is there for a specific reason, and that can inspire us and help us to make our own prayers personal. Some of you, I've been talking with you, and you've been saying, okay, I'm starting to pray, which is awesome, but it's kind of awkward. Like, it doesn't feel like my own words. How do I make it feel like I am talking to a friend over coffee? How do I make it sound more like me? And something that we can do is view the Lord's Prayer as a blueprint that can inspire our own prayers with our own words to God. So we're going to look through each phrase, at a time, and you have a card on your notes that is sort of like a table that we think that you could put on your bathroom mirror, keep in your Bible, so that you can pray the Lord's Prayer word for word, and you can also use it as a blueprint to guide your own prayers. So, we're going to dive in. Are you ready? The Lord's Prayer starts with, Our Father in heaven. And that's enough to stop right there. That's enough for a whole sermon on its own. Our Father in heaven. How powerful that the beginning of how we pray is to address the Lord. We're talking to him. And this is a familiar concept. When we see each other, just like you did tonight, what did you do? You probably said, hello, what's up? How's it going? Just like we would greet each other, we have the opportunity to speak to God. And examples of other phrases that people use today to address God in prayer is Heavenly Father, or maybe you've heard Dear God, or King Jesus. We're talking to God. And I love that Jesus starts this prayer with our Father. He doesn't just say my Father. Prayer is uniting for Christians. All who believe become children of God. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, yet to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That means everyone who places their faith in Jesus are brothers and sisters. That's one of the reasons why we call ourselves an HSM family. It's not just something fun that we say. It's actually biblical. And when we pray, we are united in the Holy Spirit, speaking to our Heavenly Father. Do you see how powerful that is? Several summers ago, I think it was 2017, I did a discipleship training program with the college ministry I was a part of. So picture like HSM all day, 7 days a week. It was pretty awesome. And that summer, I was challenged by a friend to look at someone in my Bible study and ask her if we could pray together every day that summer. Pray together every day for 8 weeks. I found a friend, her name is Julia, and we met together every day, and whether we could meet for half an hour or maybe it was 5 minutes, we shared prayer requests and we prayed together. And then that summer, we left that training program. We went to different schools on different parts of the state, and I hardly ever have seen her after that. I think I've only seen her like once a year since then. And to this day, I feel like she's one of my like most trusted friends. Like she's still one of my closest friends, even if I don't see her that often, because we built our friendship on prayer. Like God was united. He was our Heavenly Father. We were uniting in him. And so just a quick like tip for you friends, if you're wanting to go deeper in your friendships, if you're wondering like, man, I want my friendships to like not be surface level. I want them to grow. Start praying together. Share prayer requests and pray together as often as you can, and watch the Lord transform your own hearts, but also your friendship. And then Jesus prays to our Father. And when we think about Father, we can't help but think about our earthly fathers. I think God, you know, was giving us a picture of the kind of relationship that he wanted for us, with us. But to be honest, some of our relationships with our fathers are pretty complicated. Our fathers may have let us down in different ways. And even if we have the most loving father, all earthly fathers struggle with sin, just like you and just like me. And so if your heart is broken about your relationship with your earthly father, if you're wondering if your heavenly father can be trusted, if you can't even trust your earthly father, we want you to know, HSM, that God's heart is broken with you. He's with you in that. He longs to redeem that. God is your father, but in the way that he intended. He's perfectly loving. He's your protector and provider. He wants to be that close to you. He's our father in heaven. So in a lot of ways, we have some understanding of what that's like because of our earthly fathers. But in a lot of ways, he's unlike our earthly fathers. God, in the opening part of this prayer, is demonstrating how different he is. He's the God of the universe, but he's chosen to love us like a father. And that father, that God of the universe, is inviting us to go to him in prayer. And then the prayer continues, hallowed be your name. Everybody say hallowed.
Hallowed be
your name. Amen. Hallowed is like not really a word we use very much anymore, but it means to make holy. It means that God is set apart. He's different. He's heavenly. It communicates to say, hallowed be your name. It communicates that we are adoring God, that we are worshiping him, even in our prayers. We're taking a moment to recognize who God is and his holiness and his greatness. And I was trying to think about examples of like, okay, how do people pray the equivalent of hallowed be your name today? And I couldn't really think of anything. I was thinking of, I think a common prayer that's powerful is, God, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you for the breath in our lungs. And that's a beautiful prayer. But I realized that this prayer is challenging me to take time to pray God for his praise God for his character, not just for the things that he does. Think about like maybe your HSM leaders are a good example. Imagine like if you just constantly thanking them. David, thank you so much for sharing your testimony with part of your testimony here with us. Thank you for showing up every Wednesday. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for asking about my day. That's like really cool and meaningful, and I encourage you to thank your leaders as often as you can. But like, if you were only thanking someone for what they did, Uncle David might wonder, but do they like me? Like, do they appreciate me? And like, I was thinking in my own prayers to God, like, what if instead I kept thanking God for what he's done? What if I said, God, you are holy. You are everlasting. You are all powerful. You are extravagant in your love. And I kind of like feel challenged myself and want to invite any of you to join it with me in this, is let's try in our prayers this week thanking God for his character just as much as we thank him for the things that he's done. He's not a genie. He wants that connection and relationship with us. The prayer continues, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This part of the prayer helps align our hearts to God's plans and purposes even more than our own. We talked about this a little bit last week, that we have our own plans and agendas for our lives. We have our own dreams, and a lot of those are good, are really good. But like David was just sharing, oftentimes, every time, God knows better. And so what we might want in the moment may not actually be what's best for us. And so we're praying not just our will, but God, your will be done. There's surrender in that. That God, your ways are better than mine, and I want to trust you in them, even if I don't fully understand it. It's like us taking our prayers to God, like, God, I want you to help me with this test, or I want you to help me with this relationship. I want you to help me make the varsity team or get the lead role. And sometimes we hold those desires so tightly with fists, but to genuinely pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is to approach God in prayer like this. Like you're holding your dreams up to him, but you're open-handed that he could do whatever he wants in it. And God's will can be a complicated thing, but we can be assured that God's ultimate will for the world through scripture is he wants to save his people from sin for himself and unite all people in worshiping him forever. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, it talks about how the angels and all people in heaven, day and night, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. When we ask the Lord's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we are asking to partner with God in his work to make his kingdom come and redeem the whole world. It's a powerful prayer. And then the middle part of the prayer goes, give us today our daily bread. And today in 2024, we can often miss the significance of bread. But for centuries, even millennium, bread was like gold. It was that valuable. It was what people lived on. It nourished them. People looked to bread to rely on. It represented being provided for. And in prayer, we are invited to ask God for provision. That means asking him to provide for our needs, to sustain us, meaning to help keep us going today, physically, right? Like bread is very physical, but also emotionally, socially, and spiritually. Whatever our needs are, we are able to ask God. And you may be wondering, but can God help with my needs in my head? like mentally, the thoughts that I battle, the darkness that I feel, like, can God help me when I need him in those moments? Yes. God is our ultimate provider. And to ask for his daily bread, I think reminds us how needy we are for God. Like, I think about kids, you know, when they're like, you know, I want to go up, or can you please feed me? Or like, I want to go outside and play. Like, that's like us reaching up to our heavenly Father. Daily we pray. Again, we talked about this last week. Prayer keeps us humble and dependent on God. There's not a day that goes by when we do not need prayer, because there's not a day that goes by that we do not need God. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Again, there is humility and dependence on God. We all need forgiveness for our sins. In fact, that's the gospel. That sets up the gospel. If you're wondering, like, seeing the fires and the devastation from the last couple of weeks, and you're feeling the mistakes in your own life, you're experiencing brokenness, and you're like, there's something about this world that is not quite right. like this isn't supposed to be this way. We were created, the Bible tells us, for perfect relationship with God, but we sinned, meaning we disobeyed God. We missed the mark. We fell short. We made mistakes. And that separated us from God. God is so holy that he could have no part in sin. And so our sin separated us from God, preventing that original perfect relationship that we were made for. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to live on earth the perfect sinless life, so that when he was wrongly put to death on the cross, he was the perfect payment for our sins, to cover over the gap that separated us and God. And then when he rose from the dead on the third day, he conquered sin and death in order to offer everlasting life and forgiveness with him. And when you truly encounter the gospel, when you truly experience God's forgiveness that transforms your life, that leads you into eternal life with him starting now, it means that you can then forgive others who hurt us. In fact, it's God's forgiveness that gives us the power to forgive others too. And so if as you're praying, you're realizing that you haven't forgiven someone yet, or maybe you realize you've hurt somebody and you need to ask them for forgiveness, that's like a cue to ask God for help, to talk to that person and pray with them so that you can forgive them and they can forgive you. Again, God's kingdom, God doesn't call his kingdom to be hypocrites. And so we can't say that we've received the forgiveness of the Lord if we're withholding forgiveness to others. That is the prayer there. And then it concludes, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And I think that this part of the prayer shows the reality of the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the reality of it being like present now, but not in its fullness yet, right? Like, we can experience Jesus now. Eternal life, Jesus says, is to know God. We can start eternal life now. Eternal life starts now. But we're still waiting for God to fully redeem the world, right? We're still waiting for the new heaven and the new earth. We're still waiting for eternity with him. And God is at work. He's still redeeming sin and brokenness and evil. And so the prayer here is to ask God for protection and strength to stay faithful to him. And I kind of love it, because it reminds us that we need to have spiritual awareness, that we need to ask God to wake up our hearts to the evil in the world and help us choose to worship him every time instead of strengthening the evil of sin in the world. And I like this part of the prayer, because it's kind of like everything that you've just prayed, you're asking God to help keep you on that path. And then today, after the resurrection of Jesus, typically we end our prayers with a phrase like this: in Jesus' name, amen. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus, amen.
And sometimes that can kind of seem maybe like a little repetitive or like you're just, rehearsed. But think about that phrase again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is our advocate, meaning he represents us to the Father. That when we pray in Jesus' name, God the Father isn't seeing our sin. He's not seeing separation from his holiness. He's seeing the righteousness of Jesus. We have access to the Father because of Jesus. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, we rely on his power to answer our prayers. The Lord hears us because Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has allowed us to draw near to him. And that's why, manifesting doesn't really make sense to me. Maybe you've heard this before, I'm manifesting an A on my test, or I'm manifesting a good 2025. I'm manifesting this relationship. I don't, fully understand that, and I think that's, kind of dangerous territory for us Christians, because we don't have power on our own. We only have power through Jesus. Only Jesus can move in this world. Only Jesus can do good, can redeem. He might use us and work through his Holy Spirit, but we can't just manifest it on our own. We need the power of Jesus. We need the trustworthy and life-saving power of Jesus, and that's why it's powerful for us to pray in his name. And then we usually end with amen. And that's something that everyone praying in the room usually repeats, and amen is usually translated as so be it, or certainty, or truth. And it concludes the prayer and emphasizes everything that you just prayed. Jesus, amen. Let it be so. This then is how Jesus taught us how to pray. And you may be wondering, okay, where do I start? Want to encourage us to try this week. Pray short and pray specific. Pray short and pray specific. Sometimes we feel like our prayers need to be long and perfect, but then the problem with that is we just put it off and then we never pray and we miss it. So pray short. The Lord's Prayer is 4 verses. So you can pray the Lord's Prayer and ask God to help you pray it word for word with your whole heart. Another thing that you can do is just start praying, call on the name of the Lord. I have a little bit of a confession for you students. Probably 75% of the time that you and I are talking, especially one-on-one, I'm praying. And I'm praying, Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me encourage this student. Lord, help me see the student like you do. Because you students go through some really hard things. And sometimes you ask me questions, or you ask for advice, or you share what's going on, and I'm like, I don't know how to help you in this situation, but I know that our Father does know. And so I'm praying, asking him, even in those moments. And pray specific. This is something that God has been teaching me the last couple of years, is that he's our good heavenly Father. He wants to give us good gifts. We can pray specifically to him. A couple years ago, HSM, we went to Mexico on a missions trip. Many of you in this room, we got to serve together. And some of you who were on the trip, may know of this story, but maybe not. I made a huge mistake. I bought 2 tickets for 1 student, to go to Mexico. So one of our students did not have a ticket to fly to Mexico. And so 50 of our students were across the border and getting ready to board the plane, and this other student didn't have a ticket, and little Brinley Holmstrom said, let's pray, let's ask God. And she said, God, would you please make a way for this student and Pastor Eric to make it on board our plane? And you know what? Pastor Eric and that student were the last ones to board the plane after everybody else. Like, our Heavenly Father is good. He wants to hear from you. We can pray specifically, and we can go to him even in between our classes or even right before we take a test. I love growing in prayer alongside each one of you, and I love that our leaders are growing in prayer with that too. And I'm going to ask Gavin to come up. Just a few minutes before HSM started, we got a really cool text from one of our life group leaders, our newest leader, Sophia. Sophia and Alex, a couple weeks ago, they just had their baby. And they wanted us to share that with you and wanted to share this testimony of how they've been experiencing God use prayer in their life. And I asked Gavin to read it because I didn't think I could get through it without crying. So do you have it?
Or,
okay, here we go.
All right, this is from Sophia. God has been teaching my husband and me the beauty of prayer, our lifeline to unexplainable joy and peace in a season of deep uncertainty. Our son arrived 3 months earlier than expected, a little miracle who has been reminding us how little control we truly have. The last memory I have before getting put to sleep for my C-section was staring up at the operating room lights and begging God to keep our baby safe and sound. I spent the first 14 hours of his life separated from him, yet instead of being overcome with fear or worry, I was filled with an unshakable peace, knowing that while he wasn't in my hands, he was in the hands of the one who holds all things together. Every hour we spend by his side in the NICU is bathed in prayer, prayers for his health, his growth, his future. Daily, we place him in God's care, recognizing that tomorrow is not guaranteed, but that today, God's grace and mercy are enough to sustain us. Prayer has become our anchor, reminding us that while we are powerless, God is sovereign. In surrender, we have found hope, and in prayer, we've discovered the steady assurance that even in the unknown, God is at work in ways far beyond our understanding.
Amen. Thank you, Gavin. HSM, you are so loved. You're loved by us and by our good Heavenly Father who wants to hear from his children through prayer. So let's head to our life groups right now. Let's dig deeper into prayer through discussing it together and encouraging one another and praying together. So we love you, HSM, and we will see you after your life groups.